We rise. Grace to you all and peace from the Lamb, who has washed us in his blood and made us all kings and priests to God. To him be all glory forever. Amen. The word of the Lord, which we consider, comes from Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things will be fulfilled?" And Jesus, answering them, began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. For whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." This is God's word. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, here in Batavia, we stand over 800 miles from the Jersey coast. And yet this last week, you could still feel the impact of the hurricane that struck New York and New Jersey this last Monday. 20 to 30 foot waves were reported on the Chicago lakefront. Hurricane Sandy came ashore late Monday in New Jersey, wiping out houses, pushing sand 4 blocks inward, taking lives of close to 124 people as of Thursday. What a state of power and destruction. Yet, in the midst of all this, imagine the death toll if there had been no warning. Imagine that we didn't have the technology to predict the path of the storm and give warning. Imagine if there were no emergency crews prepared to respond to this. Indeed, knowing what to expect when a storm like this strikes helps governments and residents prepare to endure it. As the disciples climb the Mount of Olives, they turn and they look to the temple, which stands in the distance, the great and mighty temple that King Herod had restored to the Jews. Jesus is here telling his disciples that such earthly glory and structures will not stand the test of time. They're only temporal. And all the hope they would put in such things that are constructed by men will fail. And he here uses a prophecy of how the temple in Jerusalem will be destroyed in 70 AD when the Romans surround Jerusalem and conquer that city, to then depict the end of all things, where not one stone is left on another as we look to the end. Peter, James, John, and Andrew ask, "What will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" Jesus tells us the what of the end. He speaks of deceptions, he speaks of destruction, and he speaks above all, and most importantly, of deliverance. through Jesus Christ. Verse 13 says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Knowing what helps us endure? What if those residents of New York and New Jersey had not been warned? What if, as the gentle winds ahead of this storm blew in, reporters came on the screen saying, "That was the worst of it. Don't worry." Or the president came on TV telling you the safest place to be was to be out on your rooftop when the storm hit. Knowing deceptions helps us endure the end. Jesus says in verse 5, "Take heed that no one deceives you." The word deceive here has the sense of being led astray. He says that many will come in his name saying, "I am he," and will deceive many. To come in Jesus' name means to come naming his name. It's to come as a representative of Christ, doing the things that Christians do. And yet here, Jesus is talking about false Christ, who in his name call you to a shelter that will provide no protection when the Lord returns. Some are more obvious than others. In the 19th century, a man named Arnold Potter of the Latter-day Saints came claiming, "I am he." However, when his attempt to ascend into heaven by jumping off a cliff ended with his followers burying him in the ground, I think we could all agree it was pretty obvious that he was not the Christ. However, there's many more subtle ways that men come saying, "I am he." Matthew records how Jesus says, "False Christs and false prophets will arise with great signs and wonders." These are the spiritual leaders who bring to you a false shelter. The Pope himself calls himself the Vicar of Christ. He uses that phrase because it means he is the substitute for Christ in his absence. The Catholic Encyclopedia states that that title is expressive of his supreme headship of the Church, that he bears in virtue of the commission of Christ, a substitutionary power on earth. Generation after generation, popes have come in this sense declaring, "I am he." By canon law, they say this is divine word, that what the pope declares is superior to scripture. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians that he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is why our church body confesses that the Pope is the Antichrist. It means that he's standing against Christ and in the place of Christ, and above all, deceiving, bringing the worst deceptions the world will ever know, because he adds to the salvation of Christ your own works that are needed. In the Council of Trent, the 16th century, it was confessed by the Catholic Church, "If anyone says that you are justified by the imputation of the justice of Christ, or by the forgiveness of sins, or that grace whereby we are justified is only the favor of God, let him be cursed." This is a false Christ that is telling you to go to a shelter that is not secure. And indeed, any teacher that rises up declaring that somehow your works are going to play a part in how God saves you is saying, "I am he," and providing no protection. There, it's like the advice to run out on the rooftop in the middle of a hurricane. There is only one Jesus. There's only one Jesus who came, as our scripture reading said, having offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. There's only one Jesus who has come through the Word, having ascended into heaven, not leaving us, being present with us today, giving us the source of everything we need to endure. As he himself said, You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Abide in my word. Knowing the deceptions help us endure by staying in the truth. Unlike Katrina, reporters were praising FEMA's response to Sandy. Knowing what to expect and knowing how things went wrong last time helped them prepare for how to respond this time. They had a more effective way of bringing aid to those who needed it. Our Savior warns, tells us exactly the things that are going to happen so that we can know what to expect. We prepare for the storms. We batten down the hatches. And Jesus gives the emergency aid that we need. Knowing the destruction helps us endure. As he says in verses 7 and 8, there will be earthquakes, there will be famines, there will be persecution, there will be hurricanes. These things must be. From the fall into sin until now, these things have been happening. Our sin brought a curse into the perfection of God's creation, so that against God's will, these things are part of our world. Jesus calls it the beginning of sorrows, not the end, the beginning. Literally, the beginning of labor pains. The word sorrows Jesus uses describes how a woman begins to have labor pains. It's as if the birth is coming, but it's not yet here. We look forward to the joy of the delivery, as a mother does, and yet we still have to go through the pains associated with birth. Paul writes in Romans 8, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. It's as if the creation's having contractions. Some of you would probably know this much better than I would. But as the birth gets closer and closer, the contractions get more and more intense, more and more close together. Think of what this means for the end of the world. Jesus warns us of how the contractions are going to become more intense and more close together as we witness these things. And yet he says, don't be troubled. I'm telling you so you know what to expect. These are acts of the curse of sin, a mark of the end of the world. And yet these things must be. Because without the contractions, we would never know there's a delivery coming. We would never be aware that something is coming to bring us out of all this pain, to bring the joy of new life through our Lord. It's a reminder of sin. We can't stand here and say God is bringing out wrath against a specific sin someone on Long Island committed. And yet all these things just bring to us that certain reminder of how we've all fallen short. We all deserve things worse than Sandy could bring. We deserve hell. And the emergency aid comes to us. God has been telling you so we would see in Christ a labor leading to delivery. Knowing the destruction helps us endure. As you watch the news footage, what an amazing sight. I'm not talking about the destruction or the ruin. But I'm talking about the delivery. I'm talking about the emergency helicopters and boats and rescue workers who were swarming the scene after the storm and even in the midst of the storm to reach out to people who needed to be delivered from danger. What would happen if there was no hope of that emergency aid through our government? What would hope if there, as people looked and saw the waters surrounding them, they had nothing to look for but just to wait? It's knowing that deliverance that helps us endure above all things. Verse 13, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Persecution is no small thing. As the labor pains contract, you as believers are going to feel it. In the late first century, there was vast persecutions of Christians, to the point where the Roman Emperor Domitian is said to have executed members of his own family for what they believed. Could you imagine facing death for the sake of what you confess and believe in? For his name's sake, you are hated. As we try to find endurance, when people maybe don't agree with what we believe, or they don't like the idea that there's no part for them to play in surviving these things, where are we going to find strength? Time and time again, we fail to witness when we should. That's why our strength, our endurance, is in His name, that it's done for His name's sake. Because we ourselves have indeed hated Him. He's been hated by all, including those who now believe in Him. In the midst of hatred and His own innocent death on the cross, He loved you. He loved all. He looked forward to the joy of knowing that you would believe in Him, that you would be saved and go to heaven and be with Him forever. As Hebrews writes, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which ensnares us and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking where? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." This is where we're delivered from troubles. We look to Jesus, the beginning and the end of everything we need to survive this world, to endure. His enduring forgiveness and His faithful sacrifice is what gives you faithfulness. Jesus predicts how His disciples would be delivered up to councils, to synagogues, to governments, because they confess Jesus. Maybe you haven't been brought before a federal court, or maybe you weren't indeed put to death like those early Christians were. And yet, you have your trials of your own. You're before the courts of the world in your own life, where you have a chance to witness to the hope that is in you, to what really delivers when a tragedy like Sandy strikes, to what delivers when the tragedy of your own sins strike you. In Philippians, Paul writes, "Our citizenship is in heaven, for which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." This is your testimony when you're on trial, that your citizenship does not lie in this world or the things of this world or the sins of this world, but it lies in heaven, an eternal citizenship with Jesus. Deceptions, destructions, persecutions are the contractions we feel. Now is the time to be on that rooftop, shouting out to the world, as the gospel is preached to the end of the world, Jesus says. It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be in 100 years. And yet through your testimony, you call to the helicopters circling above. The true deliverance, as the preaching of the gospel is here today and in your life. You see the harness of salvation grabbing hold and lifting you off these rooftops of this world. The righteousness of Christ, and you're still dangling in between. You haven't gone all the way up to the helicopter where you feel like you've found your home, security. You're dangling between two worlds as Christians, feeling these pains and yet being delivered. Call out to those who don't know this deliverance. Tell them of how the Lord will deliver you from every evil work and preserve you in His heavenly kingdom for Jesus' sake. Our endurance comes in Christ, from knowing the deceptions, knowing the destruction, and knowing the deliverance He gives us by grace. Knowing what helps us endure. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.